It's the Reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar. Because you can't spell Parhar without R-H-A-P.
R-H-A-P.
Reality TV Happy Hour. Reality TV Happy Hour.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. My name is Jordan Parhar, and as always, on a Wednesday night during the BBOTT season, I'm here with you to recap the latest eviction in the Big Brother house with some of my good pals. First is a man.
Hey there, Jordan. Nice to see you today. How you doing, everybody? It's so great to be here. I love everybody in Rap City.
Brent, you didn't let me.
I know, but I wanted to hear myself talk a little bit because, like, you know, the person just got evicted tonight. He tends to talk over everybody, so I wanted to emulate him a little bit. You know, do a little Monty for you tonight. So it was 3-card Monty. Yay for me!
You didn't say you're a leader.
You know, right? I'm a leader. I like my HOH robe, my coonskin hat. Yeah.
And of course, this is a man who I'm sure you're familiar with him if you're a regular listener of the show. He's the house head hold or the leader of the Rehappy Hour. Brent Walkamont. Brent, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. I think I'm probably unlike most of the quote unquote strategists, i.e. Alex, Taryn, and I think even Big Meech, because everyone wanted Danielle evicted tonight and I wanted Monty evicted tonight. And I think people are really down on the season, or some people are really down on the season. And I feel like people just can't, you know, you can't make people happy, because I swear in normal Big Brother, we never get what we want. We never get what we want early on in Big Brother. Here, I'm getting exactly what I want. I'm like a drunk with power. I'm in the kid in the candy store, and I'm so happy. But everyone else is down. Like, you can't make everybody happy all of the time. And I feel like don't get down, people, because it's going to get better. Relationships are going to fracture. Alliances are going to form and reform. These people are going to get sick of each other. I think the showmance is not long for this game. I hear people online saying that the showmance is going to be here until week 8. Girl, please stop. Ain't going to happen. And not for that, but America really loves Alex. So they're going to try and help her out as much as possible.
Yeah, America does love Alex Kidwell. Unfortunately, he cannot be here tonight because he had to go to a sleepover. So instead, we've got somebody filling in for him. She's making her Happy Hour debut. She gets Woo-hoo! As much hate on Twitter as Taryn Armstrong does when she talks about Monty. It's Michelle Meyer, ladies and gentlemen. Michelle,
hey guys, what's up? I'm doing good. A little sad that Monty's gone, but I mean, what can you do? I casted my votes.
Yeah, you know, we did our part, and unfortunately, it didn't work. It didn't work, Meech. And, you know, some people were giving you some hate on Twitter for that, just like Taryn. How much hate did you get for saying that you wanted to keep Monty?
I got a lot. People are making up rumors about me saying I'm a racist because I wanted Monty to stay, or Monty, gosh, why did I call him Monty, to stay, which I think
like
is
Monte.
Ridiculous. Monty. Bronte, Monty, same thing. But yeah, just I wanted Monty to stay. Monty, I can't talk, guys. I'm sorry, it's late.
I love it.
I wanted I wanted Monty to stay because he's just such a big character. He talks over people just like Brent tonight. And he's a leader. He has HOH-itis. And I just think he is hilarious. But not when he does make, you know, bad comments.
And yes, unfortunately, you know, things didn't go Big Meech's way. Monte went home, and we're going to have to deal with the repercussions. But we will break that all down for you tonight. We are live on robezawebsite.com. We've got the chat room going on robezawebsite.com. We're going to be taking your questions tonight as well. So if you want to get those in, you can send them in by tweeting me. I am at Jordan Parhar. You can use hashtag RehappyHour. And we will get into those later on in the show. We're working the night shift once again. We're live at midnight Eastern. So I don't know how late we're going to go, because I think I might pass out shortly because I've been up since 4 a.m. this morning.
Oh. But,
we'll see how it goes. I think we'll be okay.
Right. So, I think they really, you know, they changed earlier this week. They changed the safety ceremony from being 30 minutes long and they made it 5 minutes long. I really wish they would change the eviction ceremony from, you know, 10 o'clock. It's basically 11 o'clock at night. And we starting our podcast at midnight to doing something a little bit more manageable. I mean, this is late for the East Coast. I don't think it's a great idea. And I wish they would reexamine it.
Yeah, and I should not complain as much because I'm on the West Coast, so it's not as bad. It's only a little after 9 here, but right. Still, yeah. I hope Big Brother listens on this because yeah, it's really late. I mean, just do something a little more manageable.
And I can't get Taryn Armstrong with me on a podcast on Wednesdays because bitch has got to go to sleep. You know,
he's got his bedtime. He's got his bedtime, Brent.
Just like sleep over.
No, that was it. Yeah, Alex had a sleepover at friend's house.
Okay.
Taryn, it's his bedtime. So
gotcha.
It's too, yeah, Taryn can't do anything past 8 o'clock. Otherwise, he gets cranky. So just so you guys know, if you haven't subscribed yet to CBS All Access and you want to watch Big Brother Over the Top, you can get a 1 week free trial. If you sign up now, you can go to robinswebsite.com/BBOTT to do that. You can get the recap episodes there. You can see if you like it, give it a try, and go from there. But let's jump into the episode tonight, guys. As we mentioned off the top, Monty is evicted by a vote of 5-4. And once again, second week in a row, America has gotten their way. Their nominee has gone home. And I don't know, Brent, I'm a little bit concerned that America's kind of just going to have their way this entire season. But you don't seem to think that.
No, I don't, for a variety of reasons. Number one, it's not even really America's call anymore. Even without America, the LFC, the late night crew, the LNC, or the Jamboree, as some people call them, they have enough power to do what they want now if they are in control of head of household. I don't think America's going to be so willing to put up somebody from the plastics. Or the ball crushers, as they are now called, now that Monty's gone. They renamed themselves, if you don't know. And I really don't. I think the people that look, it's no, I'm, when I say America, it's not America like the casuals, like the people that gave Corey a freaking care package. Okay. these are the people that watch the feeds that really love the strategy of the game. They like the drama of the game. And I just think that going into week 3, week 4, they're not going to continue to do the same. I feel it bubbling up. I feel like we're at the point in last season where people were getting onto Polly, Michelle, Natalie, other people were realizing, you know, frick, Polly is in control of this whole house and we need to get him out. You know, it just dawned on people. We talked about it that week. It was sort of bubbling up. And look, a week later, he was out of the house. So I do think that America is going to wake up and do something different. I think Chrissy is a possible nominee. She does tend to annoy people. And even if she's not, things are, look, the natural relationship, the natural part of Big Brother is that people get annoyed with everybody when they live in a house with them. Relationships are going to fracture and reform. People are going to make new friends. They're going to get rid of their old friends. I mean, if you would have, like when Michelle was playing Big Brother, I mean, she was with, you know, her whole team with Frank and those guys. And then she eventually became close with Natalie, who I didn't really see her talking much to. And even at some points had a working relationship with Nicole, who she totally hated. So, I mean, you have to give people a chance to play. And look, the thing about Monty, and I want to say it, want to get it out of the way really quick.
Brent, Monty.
Thank you. Yes, right. As evidenced by some of the hate directed at Big Meech and even Taryn and maybe even Alex and some other people, I'm sure. There was like it or not, there was a bit of a racial subtext to some of the things that Monty said. Now, I don't think he's a racist, and I don't even think he said maybe some racial things, but it was uncomfortable for me to listen to, okay? But I do think down deep, he is a really, really cool guy. That being said, there were some people who were on this side of it, and there were some people on the other side of it, and I felt like it was better for us as fans and viewers of the game to simply remove that piece from the chessboard moving forward. Otherwise, it was going to be festering all season long, especially with him and Justin being in the house. They're both two alpha males. They're both hard-headed, and they don't like each other. I would just for my sanity of having to listen to people, like call people like Michelle saying she's a racist because she wanted to keep Monty, I wanted to just get rid of that aspect of the game because I feel like we were in a no-win situation by keeping him in the house. I feel like we can have a much better game going forward. And I am not as down in the season as a lot of other people are because I still think it's week 2. We're at the end of week 2. Come on, you know, things are going to happen. You just got to give people a chance to figure out once they figure out who's on top and who's on bottom and they realize they're not at the top or that America really likes somebody a lot. They're going to feel threatened. And, you know, it's a game for, what, $250,000? And they're going to want to get rid of people. So give it a chance.
Michelle, what do you think about that? Because Brent brings up an interesting point. Now we don't have to worry about, you know, Danielle accusing people of things. And in my opinion, I hate seeing, you know, issues like that brought up into this silly game that we watch. I mean, I watch this as kind of, you know, I watch it for the strategy, the mindless entertainment, but that stuff is really ugly. But at the same time, I feel like losing Monty at this point of the game means we lost a big character on the show. And instead, now we're stuck with Danielle, who I think is going to be kind of boring. Michelle, what do you think?
She causes drama, too. I saw people talking, you know, that she causes drama, too. I'm sure that, who knows, maybe she'll end up being public enemy number one now. Who knows?
I think so, because, look. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I'm doing my best Monty impression.
Good job, Monty.
Right, Monty, right? For real, you know, Danielle, it is all on the table now, okay? They were telling her, they were telling Shane, they were telling Jason that they were going to vote for Chrissy, okay? They all said we're going to vote for Chrissy, and Danielle thought she was safe. It comes back a 5-4 vote. She got 4 votes, and she knows exactly who those 4 people are, okay? Mm-hmm. She did not see that coming. I think she may have suspected it, but she didn't want to face the real facts that there are 4 people who were out to get her, and they all lied to her face. So she is pissed right now.
Yeah.
She is feisty. She wants to know, like, what did I do wrong? Why were these people lying to me? I know who my friends are. I know who my friends aren't. So I think you're going to see a new Danielle. I mean, the cards are on the table, and I feel like she has a fire lit under her because she knows, two things. She knows how close she came to being evicted, but she also knows now that America was on her side this week because we voted to evict Monty.
The thing with Danielle that just frustrates me just a tad is a lot of this America stuff, Michelle. We saw Tongue Gate where she was going at Monty saying America, America, America. That's why you're on the block. That's why you're a have not.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that she is a good player, or do you think she's letting this America stuff kind of, you know, skew her viewpoint of how well she's doing in the game?
Yeah, I definitely think that she is letting the whole America thing skew her, you know, viewpoint a little bit. I mean, it's kind of hard not to use that as strategy, if you know what I mean. Like, when I got the care package, I was thinking, what does America want me to do? Who does America like? Like, why did they choose me to have this? Who do they want me to
do? And you didn't listen to us.
I know. Thanks for reminding me.
You were like Chrissy in week one, thinking we gave you this because, we love you and we wanted you to do this. And we did love you. We wanted you to stick with what you said you were going to do with the care package. And then when you got the care package, you said, no, I'll go this other direction. But
it was because Nicole had gotten the care package the previous week. So it's like kind of, America plays a big part into it, even though, you know, as a viewer, you'd like to think you wouldn't want it to influence your game that much, but it does when you're in the house. And, you know, I don't blame her, but it's just going way too far.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how things go this week for that group. Mm-hmm. What about in terms of those people? Brent mentioned the 4 people that voted against Danielle. Michelle, who do you think is the biggest, who's going to be facing the most heat of those 4? I saw right after the vote, Shane was talking about how Scott was a rat. Do you think it's him, or do you think Alex is going to be somebody who's going to be a little bit more under fire?
Maybe Alex, because, you know, Danielle is kind of with Chrissy, and Chrissy felt screwed over by, you know, Danielle. I mean, by Alex. Alex. I mean, she even called her out in her speech. So right. I think that definitely Alex will be getting more of the heat.
Brent, what did you think of that speech from Chrissy? I thought it was
I liked it.
Michelle, you liked it. Why did you like it? Because I thought it was just
unnecessary. She called out Alex. She called out someone. I don't know. I like that.
I agree with Michelle. I liked it too. I felt like, as Chrissy said later on to Jason, she said it was polite wig snatching. She said that she wanted to make her point known about Alex, that Alex was a liar, that Alex said she wouldn't put her up. She shook hands on it. And she didn't follow through, and she feels pissed, and she feels betrayed. And why shouldn't she feel betrayed? I know she got 0 votes, but as Michelle can tell you, you know, when you're put up on the block, you don't know what people are really thinking. You know, you get the block paranoia, and I'm sure she had a miserable time all week once she was put up on the block.
So does America actually love Chrissy now, Brent? Do you think she's finally won them over like she's been saying on the recaps week?
Here's the thing. Look at it from Chrissy's point of view, okay? Number one, she was not made a have-not. Number two, back-to-back weeks, she has gotten zero votes to evict. So she knows America has not voted, but voted for her. And number three, she was the first winner of the care package. So if you're Chrissy, how can you not think America freaking loves everything you do? I mean, from her point of view, she is just rocking up wins left and right. She thinks America loves the ground she walks on. And I can't blame her at this point because she's with the people who have the power. And I feel like it's going to turn very quickly for Chrissy. Maybe I'm calling a week four eviction for Chrissy, but I'll see if my foreshadowing. By the way, I have been very good. I'm like Donald Trump. Like, I called everything. Okay, like I knew it was gonna happen with Cornbread. I knew it was gonna happen with Monty. People were saying it was gonna be close. No, bitch. I knew that America was not gonna put up. America was not gonna put up Morgan. America was gonna put up Monty. I'm sure the votes were like 70-10-10. Like, no, stop.
Okay, maybe we're going to start a hashtag Brent was right. Maybe you'll get Karen down finally. Okay, let's talk about the episode a little bit in terms of the recap. Michelle, did you like that they decided today to do a bit of a longer episode? Because last week we only got an hour. Mm-hmm. The eviction was right at 8. This time it was about 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And then the eviction was at 8:30. So in general, did you like this episode?
Yeah, I mean, the more, you know, condensed footage there is, the better. I mean, longer episode, I liked it. I didn't know that point, though. I was like, it was 11 o'clock this time, and I was like, why isn't eviction getting started yet? So it was a surprise to me. I don't know if you guys knew. Did you guys know?
Yeah, I had no idea. Brent, did you see that coming?
What? About what?
The longer episode?
Oh, I mean, no, but I was glad to see it, though. I thought that was mm-hmm. I thought the production value went way up tonight. And also, I don't know if you guys noticed, but during the live eviction, the production value was also a lot better. They actually had them, you know, you didn't have to switch cameras. You didn't have to use the quad cam. If you're on, I was on camera three, but all the cameras, I think, had pictures of people walking into the diary room, then the hallway, then the diary room itself. You got to see the last week I was listening to these disembodied voices voting. I didn't even see them in the diary room. And this week I actually got to see them. So they're learning as they go. It's a new show and they're still kind of learning how to do all this.
Yeah, I think they did a bit of a better job with things. Mm-hmm. Still some work to do in terms of, you know, figuring, I think, a few things out. But in general, I did like how they dedicated more time, you know, to the episode, the veto competition, the punishments, all that kind of stuff. On the episode, Michelle, we got to see Tongue Gate with Danielle and Whitney. And we got to see the whole thing with Justin and Monty. We also saw the Jason situation with Shelby, but we didn't see the harsh words that Jason was using specifically mm-hmm. towards her. So do you think that this is a little bit unfair on production's part for not showing this stuff from Jason's aspect, or do you think that it was unnecessary and we didn't need to see this on the show?
I don't, you'll have to tell me, did they show when Paul called me a bad word?
Yeah, they did show that.
Yes.
Yeah, they blanked that out. Yes, they did.
Right.
But I'm surprised they didn't show it then here. I mean, I get like they only have a 90-minute block to get everything in it, but I feel like they need to show exactly what's going on. I mean, if it was a big, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, Brent, why do you think they did that? Because I was curious. I mean, I don't think it would have made people turn on Jason. Most people are watching the feeds and seeing, or at least hearing what's going on about that stuff anyway. So what do you think the motivation is there?
I'm not sure. I mean, you know, it's just different editors make different calls. I don't know why they chose not to show it. You know, if you've been watching the Joker's updates, and not that Joker's is the end all be all, but I know that people have not been exactly in love with Jason as much as they were when the game first started. And now he's down to like number six on Joker's updates popularity poll. So he's kind of in that area where, I mean, his stock is going down, Jordan. That's what I'm trying to say. And I think people still love Jason, but he's a little bit of a harder edge to him. I've seen this in other reality show games. I'm trying to think of an example of him where somebody came in, really had a good time the first time, was there to like play summer camp. The second time they came back, it was business. Like Boston Rob, you know, he played hard the first time, but he came back and it was business. Lex, the same way, had a good time the first time. It was like family on Survivor Africa, came back in All Stars, and he said it's business. Same thing with Devon when she came back. She wanted to say, look, I'm here to win the money this time. I'm not here to have a good time. So I think that's what we're seeing from Jason, at least from my perspective. He still is funny at times. He still can snatch some wigs with the best of them, but you can tell that there's a harder edge to Jason. And he feels like America is behind him. So I feel like that even empowers him more. He's been careful not to really say it too much. He's more said it about his team and other people. Like, you know, well, America sees that, you know, or America's with you, boo, or things like that. He's not said anything about himself. And I think he's wise to downplay that.
What do you think about Jason's gameplay so far, Michelle? Are you liking it so far? Or do you think that there's some improvement to be made there?
I mean, he has a whole bunch of people that has his back now compared to, you know, he was public enemy number one about to go home if he didn't win that veto. So, yeah, I think he's playing a great game. I think he does let some things get to him. Like, I don't get why he freaked out over the couch thing. Like, I'm going to go sit on the normal couch. He literally lost it. And I'm like, that's not that big of a deal. So I think he needs to tone it down a little bit.
Yeah, I'm still, I was listening to the podcast yesterday with Glenn, Taryn and Rob, and they were talking about that as well. And I guess I'm with Taryn and Rob in thinking that maybe he's trying to play it up to the cameras a little bit, but I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, sometimes when you're in there, you just like the littlest thing can just piss you off. And I think that was just an example where he already didn't like Shelby. She did that. And it just, he just kind of like was like, and he just like verbal assault on her because he had been like holding up all of this negative energy towards her.
Plus they kept him inside and he also needed a cigarette and he had been inside forever. So,
yes.
He admitted that afterwards that he was just like really, really pissed off and wanted to get outside and have a smoke.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just trying to say is that he can't do that a lot.
Right.
No, he can't. Yeah. He can't. And clearly, I mean, as you know, Brent, you mentioned if this stuff keeps going that on, then maybe, you know, his popularity is going to keep going down on Joker's, or at least other people's popularity is going to surpass his. So we'll definitely keep an eye out on that.
The thing about Jason to keep in mind when it comes to voting is that for better or for worse, he's one of the people that's talked about. Like someone like Whitney, I don't feel like it's ever going to get votes for anything. Like, because I can't bring myself to hate her, but I also really don't like her either. So it's kind of like, bleh, you know, whereas with Jason, there are some people who are very anti-Jason. I feel like you really love Jason or you're really pissed off. I saw people in the chat room on CBS on the live feed saying, you know, now I hate Jason. You know, he's controlling everything. So, you know, people don't like it when people get in too much control. So I am worried about where Jason is headed. I don't think he's going to be... I don't think he's going to be the winner of the season no matter what, but I do think he may exit sooner than later if things don't turn around for the way people perceive him.
In terms of Monty going home, Michelle, who do you think this benefits the most? Because I was trying to think about this, you know, speaking of people who, and Brent brings up, you know, he doesn't think Jason's going to win this season. Somebody who I think is going to do really well now because of this is Justin, because now his biggest enemy in the house is gone. And I feel like now... Who's going to go after him? America loves him. So do you think he's the biggest beneficiary of this decision tonight?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, I could see him being in final two, to be honest. Everyone loves him, you know, outside of the house. And there's a lot of people inside the house that love him. He's not really that big of a threat. And he's just fun to be around. So
is there anybody who's brought his name up at all, Brent? Other than, you know, or at least do you think someone's going to bring his name up now that Monty's out of the house?
Probably not. I mean, obviously, Shelby and Morgan were a little annoyed with Justin with the whole Showergate thing, but I think that's kind of past. You know, but it doesn't
scrub those nuts, Brent.
Right? It doesn't take much to get these people annoyed. So, and Justin's somebody who, you know, he can't keep his mouth shut. Look, he doesn't know this game very well. Remember, this is the guy who was like, you know, after the veto ceremony during week one, he was like, do we vote now? He doesn't know this game like we do, and he's liable to open his mouth at an inopportune time and cause himself some unneeded drama when he probably doesn't need to.
Let's talk about the live DRs a little bit here. Brent, that happened last night, correct?
Yes.
And what was the biggest takeaway for you when you watched those?
The biggest takeaway from me, and I tried to tell people this online today, but people were just going on about how, you know, the season's miserable, and if we don't evict Danny, then it's going to be a miserable outcome, blah, blah, blah. My thing was Neely really did want to get rid of Shane. She really is threatened by Shane and the showmance. And she also thinks that Shane has his tentacles in Monty and Scott. And she thinks that he's playing a lot of different sides, which he is. I mean, I don't think he wasn't working with Monty and he wasn't working with Scott necessarily this week, but he had relationships with them that could be threatening to somebody like Neely. And she wanted to get rid of him. And so when he won the veto, she was not pleased. And I think that if he had not won that veto, I think we would have seen a very different outcome this week.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that is huge. I did not, I didn't know that either. Michelle, did you happen to catch the live DRs yesterday?
I caught a few of them. I'm not going to lie. I missed some.
Yeah, I did too. I'll be honest with you. It's been a busy week at school for me. So Brent, I'll throw it back to you then. Biggest surprise then, other than, you know, that's a big takeaway. Anything else that was really surprising for you when you watched those?
Just the amount of people begging America to do what they needed them to do. I mean, everybody basically came into the day room, and while they did move on to other topics at times, they were all about, like, they knew. Look, everybody knew. It's 4-4. America's going to make the call here. I think Alex knew in her heart of hearts, and we need to talk about this, you know, Alex's HOH, you know, failure, success, or a miserable failure. Let's talk about that. But they all knew that America had the power this week to do what we wanted to do. And I feel like they sort of missed the forest for the trees. I mean, we nominated Monty. You have to think we're going to evict Monty. And a lot of these people just seem sort of, there was a willful blindness on the part of a lot of these people, like Morgan, Alex, Scott, Whitney. They just would not accept the fact that for the moment America was never going to be on Monty's side. He's just somebody that nobody can get behind and everybody loves to hate. And for a lot of people, mm-hmm. like Michelle, he's like Alexis on Dynasty, where you love to hate him. You know? But there are a lot of people like me mm-hmm. who kind of just hated him. And that's not a good reality TV character to me, you know. And I'm grateful that for some people like Michelle and Taryn, that they kind of love to hate him. I don't even know if Taryn has real feelings or not, since he's like a robot. But you know, that being beside the point, there he had a good effect on some people. But I thought it was just best to remove him from the game, have a really clean game going forward. I don't think that he and Justin could coexist in the house. I know people said, well, Brent, people tweeted me this. They said, Brent, you really surprised me because I thought you loved the drama. I like drama within the game. When it moves into other areas, I'm not so fond of that. Like when people were calling, I can't remember who did it. I'm not even going to say who it was, but they made homophobic labels on some house guests in the past. Oh, Corey. They said he was homophobic, and I never perceived Corey as homophobic last season. He was a really cool guy. He just because you're stupid doesn't mean you're homophobic. Likewise with Monty. He's not a fucking racist. I'm sorry. He's not a racist. He's not a racist, okay? He just
says, and that's the thing.
Right.
Sydney's DR was completely focused on just shitting on Monty the entire time. And I'm like, dude, right. Talk about something else. She was literally just attacking his character the whole time.
Yeah, and that's fun to say.
One of the DRs I did catch was hers.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's just, you know, it is unfortunate. We don't want to see that kind of stuff again. I mean, it's a silly show. I mean, there are much more important things going on, like the election and various other things that we don't want to talk about here, because that's not why we watch this show. We watch this show to get away from that kind of stuff. So definitely with you in that regard. Brent, you brought up Alex's HOH there. Michelle, what do you think about Alex's HOH as a whole here? She's got to nominate three people. None of them go home. So similar to Monty in that regard, she takes a punishment in which she can't compete in the HOH next week. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate Alex's HOH?
Was it?
It was a pretty bad HOH.
I agree. Was the punishment she can't compete in the H? I thought it was just that it makes her HOH a little bit harder. Like Monty took the I can't compete in the V.
Is that what it is? Okay,
About like when she competes in her next HOH, it's going to be she's going to be in a tougher position than other people are.
Okay,
right?
So we're assuming unless she is the Michael Jordan of Big Brother competitions, she's probably not going to win that HOH.
Probably not. And she said that in her diary room to us, because she was like, you know, I'm happy to take that because I don't. She actually said this, which I thought was kind of stupid, but she was like, I don't want to win HOH during week 4. I'm like, girl, that's a whole hell of a lot of time away. Like you may need that HOH in week 4. You might have want to take in the sand trap, but oh well, you know.
Anyway, Michelle, let's continue on your thought there. So bad HOH reign in your opinion.
It kind of sucks. I mean, she has Chrissy after her now, and people are, Danielle's pissed that she lied to her. I mean, plus Danielle has Shane. So, I mean, everyone's, you know, other side of the house really mad at her, and she has that punishment. And the Monty got sent home, who is a really good physical competitor for her side of the house. So I think she kind of got screwed.
So scale of 1 to 10, Michelle, for you.
Four.
Four. Okay. Brent, what do you say?
I mean, I'm trying to be fair to her as much as possible. I, you know, there are some people saying, well, she had to do this. I don't know that she had to do this. I think that there were signs there that she could have made a different call and chosen to build bridges with other people. You know, she had to know that America did not like Monty. She knew it in her heart of hearts. She knew he had said some things. She knew he was likely to be America's nominee. She could have put up somebody like Scott and Monty and really made some bridges with the other side. Like, I'm not against you guys. I want to work with you. Because Jason, some other people, they really liked Alex. But then when she drew a line in the sand, and she did, and here's the thing, she drew a line in the sand and she didn't have the cards to back it up. She knew that America was likely going to vote against Monty, and she still decided to try to pull it off. And of course she failed. I feel like a better course of action would have been to give the other side what they wanted, try to build some relationships with the other side, say, you know, hey, I love you guys. You're fun. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to work with you. Mm-hmm. And I feel like she would be, look, I know this is, you know, 2020, and I can look back and say, well, she should have done this. But even now she's saying, well, I'm glad I didn't give them what they wanted. I'm kind of thinking, girl, I wish you would have given them what they wanted, because I feel like there was a different road in front of you that you could have taken that could have been better for your long-term game. Now, short-term, it might have helped you, but I don't like where her long-term game is headed, because now she's got people really pissed at her, whereas coming into this week, no one was pissed at Alex. In fact, some people didn't even talk to her. They didn't even know who she was. They couldn't even tell her apart from Morgan.
All right. Well, Michelle, what do you think then in terms of for Alex moving forward? What's the bet? What do you do here? You just had an HOH. You can't win the next one. You got half the house pissed off at you. Is there anything she can do to get out of this sticky situation?
I would just try to do damage control. Go talk to Danielle, talk to Shane. And also try to get, you know, go back to Jason and be like, Jason, I really didn't want to send you home, and tell him, like, you know, about how she told Chrissy not to use or to use the care package on her and on him. Sorry, I can't talk. I don't know, damage control, and win the veto. I don't know if she'd be the one to go up per se. I mean, or to go home.
Her name's at the top of the list, though, for a lot of people. I really do feel like they're very angry with Alex right now. And, you know, now that Monty's been removed, I mean, who are you looking at? Basically, it's Scott or Alex for the other side. I mean, maybe Shelby, you know? Mm-hmm. But I don't feel like America's going to put up Shelby. I think we just kind of laugh at her, you know, especially like when the way she was playing that golf game with the veto. It's like, yeah, oh my God, this girl, you know, she can't be taken seriously. And I felt like I felt a little sorry for her when Jason was going after her. And I don't even feel like she meant what he thought she meant. He thought that she was saying, like, I want to sit on the normal couch, like away from these losers. I thought what she was saying was, I didn't want to sit on the nomination couch. Like, I want to sit over here on the safe couch, you know? And kind of blew it all out of proportion. You know, when you go after people like that really hardcore, you can sometimes make them sympathetic. And somebody like Shelby, who's sort of a sweet girl at times, you know, kind of doesn't know the game very well. Obviously, she didn't know who the hell Big Jeff was. I feel like it's you can unintentionally give some sympathy to people who, you know, you may not want to have it, especially in a game where America's voting.
How many people do you think actually knew who Big Jeff was, Michelle?
I'm surprised Morgan was saying in her DR that she knew who Big Jeff was, but I would only say like Scott, Danielle, and Alex. I don't get how Morgan knew.
Yeah, that I was surprised at that as well. But yeah, just Shelby's reaction was just like, who is this like old guy coming in the house? I don't care who this is. Whereas like in previous seasons, if Jeff were to come in and there was like some fans in there, people would have been like, oh my gosh, Big Jeff. Blah, blah, blah. I was waiting for someone to ask him about Harry Potter, but I was I was greatly disappointed. Right. Let's talk about the HOH competition here, guys. It started at the top of the hour, shortly before we went live.
Finally have the rules, by the way.
Okay, so perfect. So, Brent, if you could fill us in, what exactly does this competition entail?
This competition is interesting to me. It's not exactly TV friendly, but it's very good for an internet-based Big Brother version. So these are the instructions. For just to give you a sense of, you know, the backyard. The backyard is basically littered with all of these barcodes. People are I'm sorry, Meech, I'm gonna steal your joke. Somebody said that this is made for the grocery checker guy, Jason, because they're all barcodes are all over the backyard. So all these barcodes, and they all look sort of similar in their length. You basically have to keep walking around. You can use your feet, but you can't use any other part of your body, and try to figure out which barcode is the longest. The actual rules are as follows. Each line of barcode is broken up into several pieces with a unique number. The goal is for the first house guest to identify which piece of the barcode is the longest. Once they do, they become the new head of household. Here's how it works. The game is played in rounds. Each round is 15 minutes. At any time during the round, house guests may give an answer. When they're ready to answer, they have a ring and a chain. They place that ring and the chain around the number that they believe is the longest. If they're correct, then they yell it out. I'm sorry. If they yell it out and they're correct, they're the new head of household. If they're wrong, they have to take a seat on the couches until the end of the 15 minutes. Answers are accepted in the order on which the ring is placed on the post. If the answer is incorrect, they're out. First player to place their ring on a post is the correct is the new HOH. Here's the important thing. If the house guests have not answered by 15 minutes, they do not score, and there is no warning for the end of the round. So it just ends, and you may not know that the end of the round is coming. The important thing also to remember is that if nobody guesses the correct barcode during the 15 minutes, then everybody is eligible to begin and a new round starts. So that's how it goes.
Okay. So interesting competition. And I'm looking forward to seeing this on the recap because
we have a winner.
I can visualize this. And yes, we do have
a winner.
There is a winner.
Boy, he needed it.
And Michelle, who do you think the winner of this competition is? I'll let you guess.
Scott.
Scott is the winner. He is.
Yes.
Yes.
So there we go.
Awesome.
So Scott is the winner of this HOH competition, and boy, did he ever need it. Michelle, if you're Scott in this position right now, who do you target at this point? I'm seeing in the chat room people are saying Scott says he wants to nominate Chrissy for sure.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Chrissy, so, really?
Yeah. So why do you think he would want to nominate Chrissy?
I have no idea why.
Maybe it's just, do they not like each other? Maybe it must have to do something with that or the America thing. Brent, any insight on that?
It's possible he may be threatened by her. But again, you know, this is the same guy who's telling everybody all day long that he was going to vote for Chrissy. So I don't know who he's saying this to, but he may just be lying to people and not want to reveal his true intentions about what he's actually going to do. Look, I think this is the best possible outcome for the plastics, because of the plastics, and I'm including Scott in that, the one who was in the most danger of being America's nominee was Scott. We just made him a have-not last week. He's been doing some Ronnie-esque things that make us not like him. He was lying to people like Jason and to Justin and people that we liked going into tonight, and I'm sure they were all going to come for his head. Like, let's say he didn't win this HOH. They were going to come for his head for lying to them. Now, not only is he off the chessboard for us to put up as a nominee, but they're all going to have to kiss his butt, and they don't want to be nominated by Scott. So this is great for Scott. It's going to lift his spirits, and I have been feeling a little sorry for him. It's also great for people who want drama, because now that we cannot name Scott as the nominee anymore, us being America, who's the next logical choice? I have to believe it's Chrissy. Now, Scott, by nominating Chrissy, if that's what he decides to do, may throw a wrench in our plans, because we may want to nominate Chrissy, but if he takes it away from us, our next most likely nominee may be somebody like Shelby. So, I mean, he really has to be careful. On the other hand, he probably thinks there's no chance we would nominate Chrissy, because from their point of view, she's gotten zero votes in back-to-back weeks, and we gave her the care package. So, you know, he's probably going to make a wrong move here, if I'm guessing, and I'm still dubious of whether or not he's going to get the result he wants based on the way that this game is being played. But it's going to depend on who is left on the board for America to nominate once Scott makes his nominations. That's going to, if we can get behind somebody like, gosh, I don't know. But if we like Shane and Danielle, those are probably
yeah,
the two.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, I was going to say the showmates is probably the best bet at this point.
As long as we don't split votes. I mean, it has to be one or the other. Frankly, Shane is giving me less than Danielle at this point. I would like to see him go. But, you know, Danielle is at least a little feisty.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
You're getting me pumped for this week.
It should be.
Sorry.
I mean, I guarantee you, Meech, by and large, Scott would have been like 80% the nominee for America. Like, he would have taken all the votes. And now that he can't be the nominee anymore, really a lot of fun stuff can happen.
Yay!
Yeah,
drama.
Drama indeed. Lots to come. We're still taking your questions. You can send those in using hashtag Rehappy Hour on Twitter. We'll get into those shortly because we've got a lot to discuss about this. Michelle, in terms of for Scott here, he's won this HOH now. Do you think, you know, he was kind of, you know, at the bottom a little bit, he was kind of floating back and forth between both sides. Do you think there's a chance he overplays things a little bit a la Ronnie in BB11?
Yeah, I heard he's getting a bit of the rat edit. So,
once but he has been that, a rat. I mean, yeah, he, you know, I'm sorry, know. He has been.
I like Scott.
I do too. I like Scott.
Yeah, I mean, see which side he really, you know, chooses. Who knows? Maybe he'll take one person from each side of the house. Who knows?
And then in terms of endorsing somebody to go up on the block, I agree with Brent. I do think that Chrissy is probably going to go up just because, you know, last week we saw Alex right away say Shane and Danielle. Shane and Danielle is who went up. I think in his mind, Chrissy is just immune from America. So if we're assuming Chrissy is going to be going up on the block, Michelle, who do you think we should campaign for to go on the to go up as a nominee from America this week?
I think it would be funny to see, you know, Danielle or Shane, because I know they were so happy after the eviction. They're like, thank you, America. Thank you for listening to us. And it'd just be kind of funny to see one of them go up.
So we should, and Brent, as you mentioned, we don't want the votes to split. We don't want a situation where, like in the summer, we voted for Paul and Victor for the care package, but then we split our votes so much that Corey won it. So I guess we should figure out who is a better choice between Shane or Danielle. Michelle, what do you think, Shane or Danielle?
Well, let me help, but before you get that answer,
Brent,
let me help you a little bit, because I feel like maybe I'm gonna have to backtrack a little bit. Look, I know the BB fans, and they're not gonna Scott or Shane is not going to light that fire under us to vote 20 times against him, you know, a week. I mean, he's just done absolutely nothing to really be offensive. Danny, on the other hand, has done things that really piss people off. And I feel like, you know, I really would rather it be Shane, but I do feel like most of the feeders in America would want, like, given the choice between the two, I feel like it's obvious they would want to nominate Danny. There's a lot of people who really hated her. And it's a lot of, by hate, I mean hate from a gameplay perspective, because I feel like a lot of people really wanted her evicted this week and we didn't get that. And I mean, everybody online was like, save, you know, or get rid of Danny. I want to get rid of Danny out of the house. So they can satiate those feelings by putting her up on the block and voting her out this week, if that's what they want to do.
Yeah, I totally. I think in this situation, I think with Shane is that Danielle probably has a lot more fans than Shane does. But like you said, Brent, nobody cares about Shane.
Exactly. It's like a winning situation. It's like American Idol. I wrote an article about this one time, how, you know, people on American Idol back in the day, the people who were sort of like humdrum, you know, they didn't have people voting for them, but they also didn't have people voting against them. So, you know, you kind of get a misrepresentation of the way America feels, because they just are so boring. You don't even care about them.
Yeah, like Sanjaya, right? I mean, that's right. Why Sanjaya got so far.
Exactly. And then that's why we love people like Michelle on Big Brother, Big Meech, I'm talking about, because, you know, she creates feelings for us. She gives us something to root for or root against. I like people that, well, I'm not kissing your ass. I would tell you the straight up truth. I mean, Adam Pock's been on the show and I've been like, you know, I really hated his game, but you know, I loved your game because it was fun. It was a very TV friendly game. It was a very Dan Gheesling game where you knew that this is a damn TV show that people are watching to be entertained and you want to entertain them. A lot of people don't get that. They think they're playing a game in a vacuum, and like, this show doesn't exist in a vacuum. It's a TV show. If it wasn't a TV show, wouldn't make any money, and they couldn't give away $500,000.
Well, right, hey, let's make things interesting and put up Whitney this week.
Right?
I endorse Whitney going up now.
Wow. Okay, so putting Whitney on the block after tongue game.
Well, I would endorse Whitney going up too, but I feel like we have to get rid of somebody from the late night crew side of the house. I mean, I love them, but on the other hand, Chrissy really isn't doing a whole lot for me, although I don't really dislike her. But if, you know, if she's on the board, I think America will nominate Chrissy. If not Chrissy, then I feel like it's going to be Danielle.
Yeah, I think this the late night crew, I think whenever you say late night crew, I think of BB-8, that evil dick alliance, right, with all those guys. So late night,
I guess it's the Jamboree. I always call,
yeah, I'm gonna call it Jamboree.
Okay, but, all right, I'll stick with Jamboree.
I will say real quickly, the
incredible thing though is if Scott nominates, let's say Scott nominates Chrissy and Danielle, then what?
Is
America really gonna vote for Shane? I don't think so. I don't think we'd put up Shane. That's when somebody like Shelby could go on the block and mess up their plans. So,
well, who, Brent, educate me on this. Who is most disliked from the plastic side of the house that we could see maybe the hardcore Danielle Jamboree fans are voting for to go on the block here? Is there anybody that comes to mind? It would probably Shelby, I guess, right?
Yeah, I'm going to look on Jokers at the ratings, although it's not, I mean, this is the only thing I really have to look at. So, you know, who knows? So that at the bottom come, oh, okay. So it was Monty was the most hated house guest based on Joker's rankings. Then Scott and Danielle. So Danielle is really at the bottom. Shane is also down there and Chrissy's also down there. Morgan is in the middle. So it looks like Jason, I guess Jason has kind of, I must have looked early on in the day when like a lot of anti-Jason people were voting, because it looks like he hasn't really fallen any lower than number three based on the last 17 days. Yeah.
Okay. So there you go. Michelle, in terms of then Scott, like hindsight is 2020, we're omniscient. We can see everything that's going on in there. What do you think the best move is for Scott if he wants to keep these plastics safe?
I would say go after the showmans for sure.
Yes, 100%. Go after the showmans. America will nominate Chrissy, and they can finally get somebody from that side of the house out. Guarantee it.
Okay.
I should tell you something really quickly.
Yes, Brent, go ahead.
There is one fly in the ointment this week because we also have a care. We also have a care package coming up.
Right.
People were dogging on this, saying, "Oh, this care package is so useless. We don't care about this care package." But if you're rooting for, if you want to get somebody out from the Jamboree side of the house, like Shane, Danielle, or Chrissy, you need to make sure that you give the care package to Scott. And this is the reason why. Two reasons. One, it'll lift his spirits, let him know that we like him. Number two, as HOH, he can control what kind of veto gets released into the house. There's a diamond power of veto that could really screw with him. If somebody wins the diamond power of veto, takes off somebody like Shane and puts up somebody from the other side of the house, then they, I think they might have the numbers to get rid of them. There's a boomerang veto that can be used twice, and there's a double veto thing where two vetoes are going to be up for grabs. So that is problematic for him this week, is not just who wins the veto, but what kind of veto is it?
Yeah, I feel like that's the only scenario, because I was just going to say, I think Alex is good to go this week because if Scott is one and America is probably not going to put her up based on her popularity with them. But this diamond veto could really throw a wrench into things.
Right.
Michelle, do you wish you would have gotten a diamond veto so you could back?
Yeah, I would have taken any of those. A boomerang veto would have been kind of cool to be seen use. Definitely double veto. Yeah, they have a lot of options. I'm jealous.
Right. The boomerang veto and the double veto are basically the same thing, except the double veto is going to be given to one to each person to use, kind of like back in BB14. The boomerang veto is a veto that you can basically use on two people. So you could take two people off the block with the same veto.
Yeah. And if you were a diehard nerdy super fan, you will know the boomerang veto is the exact same as the double veto that was given out in Big Brother Canada 3 that was not used that season. Yeah. So there you go. Maybe we'll find
out. Super fan, so I wouldn't have known.
Okay, let's get into some of your questions, guys. Let's see. Let's take this one here. This one is from Timo. Timo says, are the Misfits underrated? Besides America's nominee help, they've won two POVs, and they have the same comp record with the Southerners, two HOHs.
The Southerners.
Yeah, I don't know if that's what you want to call them, but what do we think about the Misfits? Are they actually, you know, take America aside, are these guys good players, Michelle?
Pardon?
Are the Misfits actually good players? Or the Jamboree, I should say.
Yeah, I guess you guys keep using all these different. I know them as the Jamboree. That's what I call them in like my head. But I mean, they have Jason. I guess I don't. I feel like they haven't really done enough to call them good players yet. I would agree.
They're replacement level at best, I would say. Jason and Neely are probably the two people that are the brains of the bunch. Mm-hmm. Justin will do. I mean, Justin wasn't even trying to win this HOH competition. I think that needs to be said. And nobody really knew that, but we knew that Justin wasn't trying to win. He felt like he was pretty safe no matter what, and he felt like he didn't want to get any blood on his hands, so he really wasn't trying. I do see online that Chrissy says she's really upset. She thinks she's going up as a target or a backdoor target. Jason tells Chrissy that the HOH hasn't gotten out of target yet. and he tells Chrissy that the late night crew or the Jamboree has been taking advantage of all of America's nominees, and they have to do it again. If they have to do it again, they'll do it again. So we'll see.
Hypothetically, I mean, what do you think about that? Do you think Chrissy, is there a high chance that Chrissy goes home this week, Brent? Because I don't know. I feel like people aren't really, well, I look at it from both perspectives. I feel like on one
don't
hand.
Don't be fancy, Fencerton. What?
Well, I'm going to throw this to you. I'm not going to be Tanner. Right. I'm going to throw this to you. On one hand, I don't think Chrissy understands this game at all. And I don't think anybody looks at Chrissy as a strong gamer. However, on the other hand, in the house, I think a lot of people are threatened by the fact that Chrissy keeps getting the love from America. So do you think that's really going to come back to bite her, Brent?
Well, remember, Scott is now head of household, so he couldn't be made a have-not anyway because he was have-not last week. But we've got to name three new have-nots, and I have to imagine Chrissy's going to be a have-not. I have to imagine. Like, I mean, I've seen everybody that I've seen talking about have-nots coming into this week has been talking about Chrissy, and I think I'm pretty sure, like, the schedule gets wonky for me on OTT, but I think the have-nots are named before the nominees are named. So Scott will have an idea that maybe we don't love Chrissy as much as he thinks that we do if we name her as a have-not.
Michelle, who do you endorse as the three have-not nominees?
Man. They can't be it 2 weeks in a row, right?
Right.
They
cannot. So Morgan
is the only person that we can't do back to back.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha. I want to see Justin. Pardon?
Oh no! Go ahead. I want to hear you say. Oh, go ahead. I don't want.
Oh no! I just think it'd be funny to see how Justin would react to having to eat slop and eating and living in that room. I kind of want to see his reaction. I don't really know who else.
Okay.
I want to see her as
I heard that the, I think it was the BB president or Coco the Bear online was saying that she really wanted Shelby and Jason to have to be in the have not room together. Really was living for that. And then the third nominee, we really didn't care. Maybe somebody like Danny.
Yes, let's do that.
That's the other thing, too. Coco we need to make sure we split up the showmans. If you don't want to see them in bed all week together, we need to put like Danny in the have not room and Shane not in the have not room. So let's go. I'm nominating, or I'm what do you call it? I'm putting it out there that my
endorsement. Your endorsement is out there, Brett.
My endorsement.
I'll retweet you.
I'm taking back my endorsement, but now I'm giving it back to you. I'm endorsing Danny for have not, Jason for have not, and Shelby for have not, just because it would be effing ecstatic. Like, it would be glorious.
That would be, I hope we can, America, I hope we can work together on this one. Taryn's meme maker, if you can get on this, make a little nice meme chart. Yeah, please. You can do that for Taryn and then send it to us. We will all retweet it and hopefully spread the word, because that would be glorious. Okay, let's see. Let's take one from, I'm looking here. This one's from Edward Morris. Was the reaction to the eviction too much? Or was it an overreaction? I'm looking at this question. You know what, Edmo? I screwed that up, so we're going to skip that one. I'm going to go to this next one from Brent, and not Brent Walgamont.
Yes, I met him. I met him in the chat room, yeah.
Okay, there we go. So Brent, at FarmGuy88, he says, does Big Meech want to go out sometime? I have a Frank-level crush. Hashtag happy hour. Hashtag asking for a friend. Hashtag I'm the friend.
So, are you cute and do you have money? That's what we need to know.
Michelle, no comment.
No, I don't know who is it. DM me.
Farm Guy 88, slide into Big Meech's
Farm Guy 88.
It says he is an MMA and pro wrestling fan. Farm and ranch by day.
I was hoping he was an MMA fighter. If he was an MMA fighter, I'd have been more into it. But a fan. I mean, Alex Kidwell is a fan of MMA. And,
I love Alex.
I'm just saying he's not like, you know, he doesn't have Monty level of biceps or something. You know?
Okay. Okay. Because yeah. Alex is he's young, rebellious Alex Kidwell. He's a great candidate.
Yeah, we wanted Alex on the podcast tonight because there was a chance that Big Meech may not make it, and so we were like, Alex, you're old reliable, like, you know, you can do the podcast tonight, right? And he's like, oh, sorry, man, I've got plans. I thought it was gonna be free, and we're like, well, we're changing your name to Young and Rebellious.
so there we go. So Young and Rebellious Alex Kidwell. I'm looking here in the. I'll be honest with you guys. I don't have a ton of questions that I can really use. So if you guys in the chat room on Rob is
because they're all hating on me, right?
No,
Michelle, they aren't. I will admit there was one that was making fun of you, but there was one. There were several that were saying, "Hey, here's another one." Zach at Zach Attack 48. Big Meech, are you single? If so, will you go on a date with me? So there you go.
Yeah, Meech, you're a hot commodity.
Yeah, Michelle, people want to date you. That is a thing.
Thank you for not hating on me. I was afraid of that after the Twitter debacle last night.
Well, here's what I will say. And to people, and I will make a little public service announcement here. People, okay, guys, if you listen to this podcast, don't give people crap for how they want to vote on BBOTT, okay? Everybody has their own opinion. Nobody's getting mad at you for who you are voting for. So, you know, it's America. We can vote for whomever we want to vote for. So don't get upset about this stuff and just vote for who you want to and don't get mad at other people who do that.
And 5 months ago, you guys wouldn't have cared who I was voting for.
Exactly. Right.
She was just the girl online who said that me and Taryn and Alex didn't have the voice for podcasts and she hated listening to us. Yep. So, you know. Like, don't.
Hey, my voice isn't Michelle, the same vote. Right? Don't worry.
No, but Michelle knew what was right. She said my voice was great, so it's okay.
She
it's
likes
okay,
to stir
Michelle.
The pot. Exactly.
We forgive you. And also too, Michelle, you know those Twitter accounts like the egg ones or the one where it's like the house guest ones, those like 13-year-olds. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was a lot of Danny faces hating on me because Danny was the one I voted for to go.
Right. Yeah.
Surprise.
I think that person is just the same person, and then they just have like five accounts. I don't really know.
Right.
If you are one of those 13-year-olds, I am a journalism student in school, and I would love to interview you and ask you about your why you do that kind of thing because it really fascinates me. Okay, I'm looking here. Then I think we're pretty much good in terms of the questions. Brent, is there anything else? Actually, here we go. There is one here that I want to read. This one is from Lady Muse. Lady Muse says, "Does it freak anyone else out the way that Alex leads towards the camera and sasses her Ed in the DR? What is that, Brent? What is that? Yeah, you notice that? Right. Joe is like,
she's like, I want to make some drama and some paranoia. Like,
I'm HOH and I'm going to stir things up and I'm going to cause chaos. And it's like,
well, I mean, look, this is like Big Meech. Okay. She's feisty. Okay. She gives me what I want. She's not a wallflower. She's not there to sit back. She's there to play the game. She wants to play the game. She wants to play the game hard. She wants to go for the win. She doesn't, you know, you don't get anything for coming in fourth place. Okay. She doesn't need the fame either. I mean, it's on the damn internet. Okay. So just go for the win. And I like that about her. So I really hope that everybody, like, don't give Alex the damn care package. Give it to Scott. He's the head of household. It's best to look, if you want to get rid of somebody from the Jamboree side of the house, you're tired of the way things have been going. You want to get rid of somebody from the Jamboree side. You need to make sure that you give the care package to Scott. One, it's basically useless and we don't really love Scott. So it's okay to give it to him. Two, it'll lift his spirits. That's a good reason for me, but may not be for you. But three, the most important thing is he's the current head of household, and he wants to have all of the cards. The more cards that we can give him, the more he will feel good about making a strong move. If there are cards that are out there with other people to play, he will feel nervous about making a big move. So make sure you give the care package to Scott if you want to see somebody from the Jamboree side of the house out this week.
And reason number four, if this all happens to Scott, maybe he will go crazy with power and go a little bit like Ronnie in BB11.
Right? We love you! Drama.
Yes, that would be great.
Think he would honestly cry. If he got the care package from America, I think he would cry because he's been so down. He thinks he's hated. He thinks we don't like him. And
I love his Walmart vest.
I know, right? He's such a sweet guy. Like he's there to play a game. Like as our Alex noted on Twitter, he's like, you know, Scott really got done wrong. And I have a little bit of a quibble with that, but I do think there are elements of his game that were done wrong. I think that he could have made a few different decisions here and there. I don't think he had to straight up lie to everybody that he was voting for Christie when he knew he clearly wasn't. I mean, that just creates distrust with people, and they're not gonna forget that he did that. On the other hand, he just won HOH, so it really doesn't matter that they're all mad at him now. I just think that he came in to play Monopoly, like our Alex said, and now it's like they're playing Candyland. You know, I mean, like he was going to do something, and he didn't realize how big an impact America had. He thought that we were wanting him to get rid of Cornbread last week, and then to reward him for getting rid of Cornbread, we made him a have-not. So he's like, well, America, what do you want from me? You know, I can't do anything right. And then he had to sleep in the sand trap for the veto competition. He's been basically shit on by the other side of the house. They don't like him. Like I said, he saved himself a whole lot of yelling tonight, because I guarantee you, if Jason or somebody from the Jamboree side got HOH, they would have had his head on a plaque and absolutely railed on him. So the fact that he's the current head of household, they're all going to have to kiss his butt, go up there and talk with him. It's going to give him an opportunity to make new relationships in the house. And the Jamboree side of the house I'm reading right now, they are, you know, they're hoping America is with us. They think America is with them, but they're unsure, and they should be unsure, because I don't think that we're going to do what they want this week.
Yeah, well, we'll stay tuned for that. I'm really excited for this week. I hope they really flip.
Don't be a downer.
Yeah. This will be fun. I stick with OTT, guys. We're down with OTT, right? We're down.
You know me.
Are people really over it?
Some people were questioning it. Yeah, I did have a few questions where people were upset.
America has too much power. This is a popularity contest. Blah, blah, blah. Like, shut up. It's week two.
Hashtag Brent was right. Okay, here's another question. We've got a couple of questions sneaking in here at the last minute. This one is from a guy. His name is Rob, at Rob Sesternino on Twitter.
All right.
He says, what did Big Meech think of the Pauly meet and greet? Hashtag Happy Hour. Michelle, did you happen to see Pauly's meet and greet, the video footage from it? And if so, what did you think?
Well, he did say he loved Bruno Mars. I don't know. Good for them. I hope that was a lot of fun.
Good, good. That's a very PC answer. I'll tell you what I thought.
On,
it was
Michelle,
hilarious.
I was expecting more. I'm not going to lie. I thought you would be a little more fired up, but I'll take it. I won't ask
I don't know
more.
What to say.
I mean,
what
like,
do
I'll
you
say,
guys think?
Brent, you go
it.
Ahead. Brent, you
like,
go ahead.
Come on. Like, it was pathetic. It was, like, crazy. Like, it was so awkward watching him, like, you know, to put the hat on and then bring Zakiya up there when she's, like, not saying anything, and he's sort of leading her on, acting like he's a star. And, like, I'm thinking, like, it sounds like there's, like, 20 people in that room, and I don't know how many of them paid the $60 for the whole meet and greet thing, but most of them probably just paid the $10. And then the whole thing afterwards with Frankie Grande there saying stuff and trying to reenact the fight with Pauly. Playing Davon, and Davon snatched his wig and said, "Don't come to me while you still got that white feather duster on your head." She yeah, gave that it was, him right back.
Well done by Davon on that one there.
He said something else really funny about how when he was on The Price is Right, he kept making like
yes, exactly.
He's right, because he was right. We did a podcast on that, and we talked about that. How the camera, whenever the camera was close to Frankie, he would always just be like,
right.
Yeah, like right. Making little movements.
It was so funny. Davon said that, you know, he's just bitter with me because I got to go up on stage and play the game, or he had to sit in contestants row and had to oogle for the camera. So girl, bye.
so much craziness from that.
I forgot about that. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, the whole Pauly fiasco, I mean, Pauly, please don't go into a career in singing, because that the stage presence and they're like, come on guys, clap your hands,
right.
clap your hands, clap your hands.
Damn
like,
it.
I'm like, dude, like, and then he's singing over the Bruno track, that just didn't
Did you see Jeb Bush when he was running for president in New Hampshire and he finished his speech and no one really did anything and he was like, please clap. Oh. I felt like that was Polly, like, please clap.
Oh, poor Polly Calafiore. Hopefully his brother Cody and him are doing okay.
Fun to make fun of. Fun guy.
Yes, definitely. Let's see. Okay, a couple more. This one's from Haiku Fishback. Haiku Fishback says, what is Meech's go-to karaoke song? Michelle, do you have a go-to karaoke song? And is
I remember in Jury House, we got a karaoke machine, and me and Polly, we were karaoking to Headstrong by Trap.
You guys really? Okay. Wow.
No, I don't know. The one I did really good at, which everyone was impressed, was Gangnam Style. I didn't know how to pronounce anything, but I went all out and I sang every word, even though I didn't know what it meant.
Oh my goodness. That's impressive. I don't know the words to Gangnam Style either. All I just know is, don't you just say whoop, 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 Gangnam Style? Is
that right? Something like that. Something my go-to is, there's a song from Mannequin 2. It's like a 1985 movie. And the end, it's like an end credit song called Nothing Gonna Stop Us Now. Like, I love that song. I love that song for karaoke.
Okay.
If I sang it to you, I'm sure you would know it. Like,
probably, you know, probably.
Looking in your eyes, I feel the paradise. This world.
Brent, you can see Brent. Thank you. You could actually sing a song with the karaoke track in the background.
Right. I did terrible. We did the Know It Alls last year, and I picked a song I never sang before, and it was in a key that was like way too high, and I was like, oh, I really want this to end. Like, it was terrible. But this year, I'm gonna do better.
Okay, that's good. See, my go-to, I would say, is "Find Your Love" by Drake. I think I can pull that off. Although, the higher tones. That's
you got a little Drake in the eyes there.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow.
Me and Day, we did a good one to "Yeah" by Usher.
Oh, okay. Oh, that yeah.
I do
great
weird
song.
Songs, not like ballads, but like weird ones.
Weird songs. No, that song, that was actually like the pump up song for my hockey team when I was in grade 8. So there you go. Back in the day. We got one more question. This one is from Missy Moo. She says, Parhar, can I get drunk in NYC at the live show and karaoke jam to Bruno Mars with you? So again, speaking of the Bruno Mars and everything, just to let you guys know, if you haven't been aware already, we are going to be live in New York in Brent, I think it's less than 2 weeks, right? Tuesday the 24th, so we're like 12 days away. It's crazy. We're going to be live in New York doing a BBOTT live show. Tickets are $10. You can meet Brent, myself, Rob, Taryn, Alex, a bunch of Big Brother alumni based in the New York area. It's going to be a really fun night. So if you want to get tickets for that, you can go to robiswebsite.com/BBOTTLive, and you can find those there. I'm pretty sure we've got several still available. So looking forward to meeting some of you guys there. And I think there might be karaoke happening afterwards. So maybe maybe we'll get to see if Brent can show us his karaoke skills that he was talking about. Michelle, any chance you're going to be making a last minute trip to NYC to come hang with us?
I'm really debating it. I don't know if Natalie going to be, who's all going to be there?
So we have right now, I don't want to completely say who's going to go, but we do know for sure that we've got Adam Pock is going to be there for sure. Eric Stein is going to be there for sure. Glenn is going to be there for sure. Michelle, it is an open invite to BB alumni. Even if Adam Jasinski from BB9 wants to come, I believe anybody can come. So if you and Natalie want to come, you guys are more than welcome to, and I think that would be a lot of fun. So
we'll put you on stage if you want to. We'll ask you questions on the panel.
We'll set up a song for you to sing for Natalie when she comes out, or maybe
I might just go for the karaoke. You two do karaoke, so
hey, I mean, I think it's worth it for that alone.
I need to do like a love ballad with Taryn. That's what I need. I need this in my life.
Some sort of I'm trying to think what the perfect love song would be. Maybe something by Whitesnake, Brent. I don't know what we could do, but something old school like that would be great. But anyway,
Love Is a Battlefield by Pat Benatar.
Yes. All right. You singing to Taryn, I think that
Pat
would be
Benatar? Great. I think so. Yeah. Okay. Well.
I think it is Pat Benatar.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think so.
I'm not the most musically inclined, so maybe I'm the wrong person to ask. Okay, guys, I think that's going to do it for this edition of the Happy Hour. Thank you so much for joining us. Brent, any final thoughts before we wrap things up tonight?
Keep the faith, people. It's a great show. I really think you guys have been spoiled by all the stuff you're getting. We get to see all behind the scenes stuff. We don't have Jeff Fish come on every other few minutes and block out 5 hours of feeds. We get to see live diary rooms where we get to honestly hear what people are thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so much good stuff on this season that you just have to put up with the begging to America and just kind of block all that stuff out. You know, like if they feel like that they have to beg to America. I think they don't really realize that we don't really care about their begging. Like we have our own inclinations regardless of them begging us to do something or not. At least I know I do. So that's not really the fun part, but the fun part is I really do feel like it's a throwback season in many ways because it's a little bit stripped down. And I feel like these are characters we would not get on a normal season of Big Brother. I really think that there are some characters that are a little outside the box. So great job. Did Robin cast this season or was it somebody else?
Robin did not cast this season.
Okay. Well, whoever did the casting for this season, great job. I mean, I am thrilled with the cast. There's very few people who are wallflowers. I think Whitney, you know, I think basically Whitney. She's from my state, which is hilarious. She's the one I don't really care for. Again, I don't have any real hate for her, but I don't really like her either, which probably guarantees she's going to be in like the final three or something. So that's what happened with Nicole last season.
Of course. Michelle, any final thoughts before we wrap things up tonight?
Keep watching. I'm enjoying it.
Good.
And Taryn's right. Like the live DRs are probably my favorite thing about this season. That is so raw. And I love it. I love that aspect. I love how freely they can talk and they just read from a list. Cause I feel like I would have done better like that as well and gotten more of what I'm truly feeling and thinking. So I'm glad that you guys get to see that.
Right. I think it's a good vent because you can, you know, you don't have to talk to the producers. You're talking to us and you know that we're all at home listening. Like, you know, when you're talking to a random camera, you know, like if your mom or your dad or anybody's listening to you, you don't know if the fans are listening to you. You don't know if the camera's necessarily, you know, broadcasting whatever it is you're saying. But when you go into the live diary room, you know, the camera's on you, you know, it's just you and America and basically the feeders in this case, not even all of America. Like I said, these are the hardcore Big Brother fans are watching. And so I feel like it would have been a good vent for you to get out some of the feelings that, you know, kind of pent up inside of you along the way. I feel like that's why I really like this season. And I like the people in this season. Justin is a breath of fresh air. I like that Jason's there to play the game. Alex is the kind of girl I love seeing play Big Brother. She's so out front.
Yeah.
You know, she's taking bullets left and right. I don't know that it's necessarily the best gameplay, but it's fun to watch. It's entertaining. I like the fact that she wants to cause chaos and paranoia, and she's backing up her words, too. You know, she could have gone a different direction, but she let it come down to what America decided. I feel like she knew what answer we were going to give her, but she still decided to roll the dice, so kudos for that.
All and right. It's not regular Big Brother. It's Big Brother over the top. So stop comparing it and saying that America has all the power because it's not the same thing. You know what
I mean? It's not Big Brother 19. That's why they didn't call it Big Brother 19. It's Big Brother over the top. It's its own. It's in its own house.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the show. We're going to get an update on Friday from Rob Cesternino. I believe Alex Kidwell and Taryn Armstrong will be there. So be on the lookout for that. Friday afternoon should be a fun show. We'll find out what Scott is thinking with his HOH in terms of his nominees and everything else that's going on in the house. Probably find out about the care package as well. If you want to subscribe to the Rehappy Hour only feed, you can do so by going to robiswebsite.com/Rehappy Hour. That's Rehappy Hour with an R at the front. You can subscribe to the YouTube channel as well. So you can see me nodding the way that Alex is in the DR. You can see various other things we've been doing on the live broadcast tonight. You can see Big Meech's basement. Lots of good stuff. robiswebsite.com/YT if you want to subscribe to that. I'm thinking about hashtags tonight, guys. I think hashtag Monte is probably the most fitting.
So M-O-N-T-A-Y, Monte.
Yeah, Monte. Yes. Yes. Right. So
Michelle can't talk.
I love that.
It's the night shift, Michelle. It's okay. This is you can make mistakes at this time of night. People will forgive you. So if you want to follow these guys on Twitter, if you're not already, Brent is at One Lucky Gay on Twitter. Michelle, you're at Michelle Meyer BB18, right?
No.
Oh, okay. Then tell
Michelle
me what is it?
BB18.
Oh, Michelle okay. Well, see, look at me making mistakes. Michelle BB18, who recently got verified. So congratulations, Michelle. You're in the Glenn Club. congrats to you. So tweet us and let us know at your thoughts about tonight's edition of the Happy Hour. I'm at Jordan Parhar, and leave some comments on robinswebsite.com. Love reading those and hearing what you guys have to say. Okay, that's going to do it for this edition of the show, guys. Thanks so much for listening. For Brent Wagemont and Michelle Meyer, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag Monte. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Reality TV, we're happy hour. The theme song of the reality TV We're Happy Hour is written and performed by Ryan Elder. Check out more of his work at ryanelder.music.com.